Welcome back to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Laura Fitzgerald, in for Vicky Gonzalez. What does it actually take to belong? And who gets to decide? How do you know you've made it? And how does the place you reside affect it? Those are just a few of the themes being explored in Vanessa Hua's new novel, Coyote Land, set in a fictionalized suburb in the East Berkeley Hills. The novel explores class and race as fire season sets in. The best-selling author behind A River of Stars, which made NPR's Best Books of 2018 list, returns to Sacramento next week, Friday, May 22nd, for CAP Lit, where an excerpt from the new novel will be performed on stage. Vanessa, welcome to Insight.
Thanks for having me on.
Such a pleasure. So what inspired you to write Coyote Land?
Well, in the early months of lockdown, I was out for a walk in the morning and I heard what sounded like the clatter of high heels. And I turned and I couldn't believe my eyes. There was a coyote running at me, full tilt, chased by two deer. The sound of the hooves was creating that clatter. And they ran right past me and jumped into the brush. And it seemed like another sign of a world that felt topsy-turvy. That was the year of the racial reckoning about police brutality. That was the year that the sky turned orange. And so the novel, you know, it got me thinking about this hinge point, right? The novel opens in the summer of 2021. We'd moved past that early part of the pandemic, but the question remained, are we going to go back to the way we were before or forge something better? Or is a pendulum going to swing back even worse than before? And I feel like those sorts of moments are really rich to be able to explore as a novelist.
Wow, that is so interesting. And what a crazy sight to see on your morning walk. So the book is based in a community near Berkeley, California. I've lived in Berkeley. It's quite a unique place. What's the significance of basing the story there? What about that community helps convey the themes that you wanted to explore in the story?
Yeah, there's a number of things that are explored in the book. First off is this urban wildlife interface. I mean, coyotes are in cities and in the countryside and the suburbs, but the places, the borderlands, the places where there is encroachment, that's the potential for conflict, whether that's between animals or between people, right? Also, this is a community that prides itself on its progressive ideals, but those ideals are harder to uphold when it comes to your house and to the education of your children. You know, for families, those are the two biggest expenses. So again, going back to that idea, how do we live with each other? How do we be good neighbors to each other? Particularly when there are these flashpoints of, are you going to hold true to your ideals or are you going to revert back to, every person out for themselves?
Mm-hmm. Your novel features multiple points of view, including the point of view of an actual coyote. Why did you choose to structure the novel this way?
Yes, this was a new challenge for me, often terrifying because I wondered if I could pull it off. But I felt it was necessary to truly tell the story of a community. There's also an omniscient voice that will also step in at times to, I don't want to say pass judgment, but, you know, there are things often that a character can't know about themselves. And I really enjoyed being able to approach, again, this story of this time and this community through those points of view.
So is it harder to write a novel from the perspective of multiple characters versus just one? How do you keep them straight in the writing process?
Yeah, I didn't outline on like in a movie with like a piece of glass, right? But I think what I do is I call them reverse outlines. I write the draft I'm going to write, and then afterwards, that's when I do the outline, and I will highlight which characters which appear in which scenes, and I'll make sure that characters don't disappear. I'll look for opportunities in which they can come into, you know, interact with each other, come into conflict. And I mean, I think they're straight in my mind, but I think it's, you always want with, switching points of view, you want to make sure you're guiding the reader, that it's not gratuitous, that you're not lurching from one perspective to another. So it does take some doing, but I mean, speaking, writing from a single point of view, also has the challenges. It's all hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Signposting, right? Yes. What kind of research did you have to do to write A Convincing Coyote? I'm curious.
Yes. So coyotes, of course, have such a rich symbolic import, you know, have been in folklore from, you know, for thousands of years. And yet we hear them, you know, as our neighbors howling outside the window. So I can recommend an excellent book called Coyote America by Dan Flores, where he really highlights that long history, their migration, their start in the plains. And now they're in every state except for Hawaii. And I have no doubt someday there will be a coyote stowaway on a plane to the islands. So that sort of research, studying them myself when I've seen them in the neighborhood, and also reading the news. Like, many of us were captivated by the coyote that swam to Alcatraz, or even talking to friends. Everyone has a coyote story, don't they?
It's very true. I know that coyote that swam to Alcatraz. We've been talking about that here in our newsroom. What do you hope people take away from the novel as they read it? What does it have to say about the nature of territory, predator, and prey?
So I think we have not fully reckoned with the events of 2020, 2021. The consequences are still unfolding, and, you know, 6 years later. And I hope, on one hand, I hope that the book serves as a page turner and that people are compelled to find out what happens. But I also hope that it can open up conversations about that time. And again, as you mentioned in the intro, like, how can we live in community? How can we be good neighbors across race and class?
Mm-hmm. You also, Vanessa, you started your career as a journalist and previously wrote an award-winning column for the San Francisco Chronicle. Have you found it easier or harder to tell fictional stories?
I mean, I love both. And, you know, on sort of big breaking news days, I miss that buzz of a newsroom. But for me, a fiction is a chance to go beyond the official record and to take an imaginative leap of empathy. You know, there's a song in Hamilton, you know, the room where it happens, the door that's closed maybe to, you know, any sort of historian, but then through the act of fiction to be able to tell those voices, to inhabit the point of view of a coyote.
Absolutely. You know, you also write very convincingly from the perspective of multiple teenagers competing with each other to get into their top schools after high school. This seems like a pretty common theme for kids. What was, you know, what purpose did this serve in including that experience? Do you have any experience with that yourself?
Well, I graduated from high school, let's say a while back. and, you know, it's been interesting to observe. I have my kids are still freshmen, but I definitely know kids who are the junior and senior grind, and all the worry and money spent and concern. I think in some ways, compared to when I was applying to school, it's more difficult in that kids are applying to more colleges than before, because with the Common App, or there's also the aspect of social media. I'm Gen X, so if we messed up, it was recorded nowhere but in our memory and in our legends. And now I think teenagers these days have to think about their presence online. And I mean, that's another theme of the novel, surveillance, whether it's through, you know, commercial apps or through self-surveillance on social media.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Vanessa, thank you so much for joining us on Insight here at Cap Radio.
What a pleasure. Thank you.
Vanessa Waugh is the author of Forbidden City and A River of Stars. Her latest novel released this month is Coyote Land. It will also be featured at this month's Cap Lit performance, scheduled Friday, May 22nd in Sacramento. You can find more information at our website. That's it for Insight today. Learn more about our guests at capradio.org/insight. You can also subscribe to the Insight podcast. If you want to join the conversation, email us at insight@capradio.org. I'm Laura Fitzgerald, in for Vicky Gonzalez. Thanks for joining us. We'll catch you back here tomorrow.